We're going to go back to Colossians chapter 1 because we're not done. I kept hearing loud and clear. We're going back. So Colossians chapter 1. Father, give us ears to hear, eyes to see, a spirit to perceive what your spirit is speaking to me. Because this letter is written for the city of Colossae. I believe it's adapted to Chicopee and the region. And I want to start at verse 13, which is where we left off this past Sunday. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins through his blood. I did kind of skip over to the Amplified, but I kept getting go back. So here we go, verse 15. The supremacy of Christ. He is the image of the invisible God. Now, if you want to see God the Father, you look at the Son. If you look at my sons, you don't see me, because neither one really looks like me. But I have two nephews, one of which looks just like my brother, and the other one looks just like me. So God can adopt and adapt. And what I'm trying to make you aware of is when we have that heading of the supremacy of Christ, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. That specifies his background. For by him all things were created, things in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. By him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy or superiority. Now I want to take you to the part where it says in verse 16, all things were created, things in the heavens and on earth. That is the realm that is visible in the earth as well as the invisible realm, whether thrones or powers or rulers. Ephesians 6:12 is connected to that. Also, you can look at chapter 2, verse 10. You can kind of skip over. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. And we talked about the demonic realm a little bit earlier, where some people give it the same value as the kingdom of God. So I'm asking you to tweak your brain a little and kind of get a different vision of who you are in Christ. Maybe you've kind of lowered your vision of yourself and you need to upgrade a little. The kingdom of darkness has got to be subject to the King of Kings. Nothing happens in hell by accident. And we think that they are governing equal. You listen to the religious program sometimes and you say, oh my God, they're giving equal time. So off base.
Sometimes more time.
More time, because yes, they give him credit. But what I'm trying to make you aware of is that's not what the word says. That kingdom of darkness does not have 90% of your attention. It's been defeated. It's been exposed, including death. Who took the keys of death?
Jesus.
Yeah. So when you're crying out and you're saying, oh, get rid of this thing, blah, 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 it's not all about casting out. It's a lot about casting out your bad thoughts that are putting you down, making you believe that you have to be subject to that darkness. It is not the case. So when you think and mull this over in your mind and you really look at this picture, you're saying, now, wait a minute, I better get a look at what I have to see in front of me. By him all things were created. 16. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. For him. If they were created by him and for him, he has a plan to use it for his glory. The scripture is very clear that says if they would have ever realized when they were going to crucify the King of Glory, they would have never done it. It was a setup. It was a setup. God seduced the darkness to do something that they were illegally doing and they never saw the fullness of it. I talked to you about Bob Jones, dying in 1978. Do you know that the demons stole his life from him? And when he stood before the Lord said, now, Satan, you illegally killed this man. I'm sending him back with double the anointing. You say, how can you do that? Can the enemy pull off something and get away with it? Not forever. Not when you go back to the Lord and you say, wait a minute here. I've been stolen from. You shouldn't be addressing the demons. You should be addressing the Lord. Who is the head over all those thrones and powers, etc. Yeah. So when you have something that's been stolen from you, who are you going to report to? Yeah. Hey, by the way, Papa, they stole X, Y, and Z from me. That's all you got to say. If something's been stolen from you, should you be going off in a rant and raving against all the darkness and all the principalities and powers? And I've done some of that because that's what we were taught to do. But that's not what the scripture says. The woman with the issue of blood, going from doctor to doctor, doing her best, trying to get herself healed. How did she do? But then she heard about Jesus. Mm-hmm. What did she hear?
He would heal her.
Ah! She spent all her money. So she was Mrs. Fix-It. Come on now. Please tell me. Was she Mrs. Fix-It?
Yes.
Did she succeed in fixing it?
No.
When she cried out to the one who could, she did everything illegally that was done by the law. Because legally, under the law, she should have been crying, unclean, don't touch me. Mm-hmm. And plus, in the other kingdom, okay, the old covenant, the minute that she would touch somebody, they would become unclean. Mm-hmm. But now she stretched and climbed into this kingdom.
She climbed into the new covenant, and she said, I don't care what they think. I don't care how they're going to do it, but I'm going to go into that crowd. Because she should have been dressed with that outfit of, you know, darkness. But she didn't put it on. She wiggled in the crowd, and she touched the hem of his garment, which was illegal to do. So she broke the law and got healed.
Everybody else in the crowd was touching Jesus, but she was the only one that got healed.
Because she had faith. She was believing what she had heard about the man. Not about the demons. Not about the principalities and powers that had tried to destroy her. They had done their job, but she heard about the healer.
17, he is before all things. And in him all things are held together, or hold together. Does that include you? Mm-hmm. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have his fullness dwell in him. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in the heavens, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. By making peace. I was listening to your words earlier, girl, and I was thinking about how many times I read that today, going over it and saying, God, whatever you have to do, the truth of this fact has to come into us. The truth of what Jesus did is still sometimes foreign. It's not personal. Yeah, that receipt we have. Okay? Verse 21. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds. Where are you enemies of? In your mind. It's how you think that causes you to be short-circuited. Yeah. That's where the real crux of the thing is. If you get a new mindset, his mind, you will definitely have a different behavior. Because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusations. Is that on target there, Mary Jo? Mm-hmm. Free from accusation. Why? Because he took it all. Mm-hmm. Close your eyes for a moment. See, how many times a day do I criticize myself? I don't want a number because I told you what I've been doing for the past several months. When Irene is kind of upset and she's talking negative about herself, and I tell her, Irene, I am not married to so-and-so, because she'll give me a bad word about herself. You're talking about my wife and I don't want to hear it. And she starts to giggle. I've said it enough times now that she doesn't say it anymore. Because she doesn't want to get corrected. Why? Because, it was such a dumb thing I just did. I said, I'm not married a dummy. Don't go there. My wife you're talking about. Close your eyes. Say, God did not create, me to be a dummy. Or for me to call myself a dummy. Gotta stop. Calling myself stupid. Not gonna work. I am married to the King.
I am married to the King.
And he doesn't want a dummy for a bride. And we are the corporate bride of Christ. Is that the truth?
Yes.
Is he married to a dummy bride?
No.
How about a selfish bride sometimes?
No.
Ah!
Is he putting up with a selfish bride?
I think so, part time. Okay. We need to be aware of what we're doing to the best of our ability and ask him to help us through these hard spaces. Ask him to help so that you don't call yourself something you're not. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks for he has given Jesus Christ, his Son. And now let the...
Say I am strong.
Really? Let the poor say I am rich. Instead of looking at my bank account. Aha! Yes or no, I'm catching you, but it's the truth. When I look at the bank account, what happens? But you understand, I'm trying to make you see who is the head of all this, and it's the Lord. Okay? If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. A servant of the good news. Are you and I a servant of the good news? Mm-hmm. Yes, we are. And we're confessing what he says about us. We are new creations. We are the workmanship of the Father. And we have the Son within us. And he's doing an awful job. Awesome indeed. Way beyond measure. Amen?
Amen. Right.